You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
You're with your Nichols Votes team on Federal Election Night 2022. And we are going to have a chat with the Greens candidate for our local Nichols electorate. His name is Ian Christo. Good morning. It's force of habit. Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Terry. And hi to Darren.
Yeah, and we're also joined by Darren Linton of the Shepparton News. How was your campaign? How are you feeling about the whole experience this time around, Ian? Because you have stood a number of times.
I have, and unfortunately this time it was not the strong and comprehensive campaign that I would have liked. We had a candidate that had been pre-selected before me, but unfortunately she had to pull out, so I pulled on the boots a bit late in the game and sort of lost some of the early ground.
Well, good on you for stepping up, because geez.
And did you get that second cut of hay done, or?
Well, I'm still on the tractor a fair bit of the time sowing crops, so that's been another pressure on me too.
So Ian's a farmer at Undera, right?
Correct.
How many times have you stood, because you stood at both state and federal level, haven't you?
Oh, look, and local government.
Well, you can't forget losing, failing to get elected by one vote. Wasn't it?
That's correct. One vote, and it went to a recount.
This is local government?
Yes, for the local council. And
what year was that?
2016,
would it?
No, before then.
Before then?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe 10.
Who did you lose to?
Cherie Crawford.
Ah, right, yeah. A bit before my time. I do remember.
But at the recount, she picked up two votes, and so did I. So the margin stayed exactly the same.
It just shows, doesn't it, how important your vote is, basically.
Well, it also gives you some confidence in the counting process that all those thousands of votes later, having been sorted and argued over, the margin was almost exactly the same.
So you're saying you felt like you kind of got off to a bit of a late start.
Yeah.
Did you think it was important, really, to be constantly flying that climate change banner during the campaign?
Well, it is important because it's one of our strongest arguments. But the federal Greens and all the Greens have been talking about it largely non-stop. So whether it was me talking about it, I think people knew where we stood.
So I've got some breaking news.
Oh, breaking news?
Breaking, but not very surprising news. Rob Priestley has won carried the booth at Katandra.
Goodness.
Where he grew up.
Okay.
I didn't know that. There you go. Okay. So do we have, like, any details on that?
No, I just got flashed a note to say that Robert carried the day at Katandra, so clearly a lot of his relatives and family did the right thing and voted for him. All the people he went to school with.
Well, I guess the thing is, you can say that's not surprising, but if he didn't win it, then that would be indicative of something going south for that camp.
That would be surprising.
Yes.
Do you struggle with the fact that, and we were sort of joking about it before we came on air, but for the Greens, it's very much about the Senate, because that's traditionally where they've
had success.
Representation has been.
Oh, look, it's an important consideration, of course, because we want to return Lydia Thorpe back into the Senate. But there are plenty of people who are very, very pleased to get the Greens out of vote card when I'm handing out. And there are a lot of people here who want to vote Greens, and if there's no candidate for them to vote for, we're going to lose them.
So you spent the day at Boucher Street, you said.
Yeah.
What was your reception like? Was it mainly young people who were happy to take your how to vote card, or what was your view about that?
Oh, more young people overall, but you can be surprised. I was. Sometimes you just never knew what the reaction was going to be, and It does warm the heart when people that you don't expect embrace your card so enthusiastically.
You talked about getting a late start, in those circumstances where the first candidate wasn't able to continue running. Mm. Did the fact that Rob Priestley came out so solidly right at the start of his campaign and put climate change and action on climate change on the agenda, and I think in a manner that wasn't, you could barely separate it from what the Greens want in terms of climate change action as well. Did that make it harder? That
I don't think so. There is a difference. He has a different emphasis on his treatment of the problem. Rob's plan is to use a lot of bioenergy and locally sourced waste to produce energy. Whereas the Greens are much more into harvesting renewables directly from the sun and wind. But no, our vote always suffers if there's a progressive independent or any strong progressive candidate in the field, because we're sort of fighting over the same turf. But on the other hand, I think there's probably going to be an overall upswing in the Greens' vote statewide. So what we might have lost to Rob being a progressive independent, we'll probably pick up with a statewide swing.
What would you be happy with tonight? What percentage would you be happy with tonight?
Oh, I think, look, 6% would be very, very rewarding for me. But really, the absolute bottom is 4% of the vote, because that's if you don't succeed in getting 4%, we lose our deposit and there's no electoral funding coming.
What did you get last time, Ian?
The Greens last time, I think, was 4.35%.
Do you have any figures for Ian, Darren?
Currently sitting at 2.8% with about 8.9% of the vote counted, but a lot of the Greens vote, I'd be right, Ian, in saying a lot of the Greens votes comes in those bigger booths.
Yeah, certainly, and also right at the last minute, it's whether it's postal votes or what, I'm not sure, but I've been watching the vote for 2 weeks during the counting, and it's been sitting below 4%, and then they declare the result and it'll be well over 4%. So somehow in those last few moments we always seem to pick up a little bit.
Now, I didn't recycle all my paraphernalia from the voting today. Yeah. I actually brought it in with me. One, because it's a handy guide to who represents. But I reckon if you ever feel and have a bit of a flick through, pick me a winner and a loser out of all the how to vote cards that were handed out. Well, there you go. There's the green one. You'll be familiar with that one. That seems almost biodegradable.
Well, it's lighter weight and it's made out of recycled paper, and it is a little bit hard for the volunteers to pull out of the bundle and separate from the other sheets. They do tend to stick together.
Do we have a clear loser?
Well, it's shiny. That's Sam Birrell.
Shiny, thick.
and it's not going to blow away in the wind.
But it may not be recyclable.
I must say that my wife Nicole, she worries enormously about the amount of paper that's generated during an election campaign. We're going to think, surely we must be able to set a better standard.
It comes up every time, and I don't know why we can't be just allocated the space in each booth so that we can see them all in front of us and make our choice on the day. Save a lot of resources and a lot of time.
And worth noting that and people would have noticed that voting, I think the change happened quite some years ago now, but the Electoral Commission is actually completely built of recyclable cardboard.
Yeah, the whole lot must get trashed at the end of each election, I think.
Or they just fold it up and pack the kits up again later.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it can be reused. You'd hope so.
And what do you think will happen in the Senate? Do you think the Greens can increase the number of seats they have?
I think there's a good chance we'll pick up the one extra. I think we're one short of having one in each state at the moment. We'd like to at least have one in each state at this election. So that would be a small gain. And then in the lower house, there's quite an opportunity or two in Brisbane. And can't rule out picking up one or two more in Melbourne. So we could end up with a number more in the lower house as well.
And as a committed Green, what's your view of the teal independence, and more particularly, I suppose, the financial backing of them by Climate 200? Why wouldn't someone like Simon Holmes Court coordinate for that money to go to the Greens?
I think he's got a different strategy. He's targeting progressively minded voters in traditionally conservative seats, and where the Liberals have long held power with very little threat. So they're a different sort of candidate. They're so far all fairly young professional women, articulate. And they speak to progressive issues in a different way, perhaps, than the Greens speak. So it's a different strategy, targeting a different audience and a different target demographic.
Is it something you think will keep happening?
Oh, there's a limited role for this sort of campaigning because of the nature of the electorates where they're running. So it's not going to work in a rural area here where you've got National Party. It's a national or Liberal stronghold, different concerns, but it seems to be, you know, striking a chord and grabbing people's attention in those traditionally Liberal city seats.
Okay, look, I'm mindful of that. A lot of people are interested to check in with the Richmond versus Essendon game, Dreamtime at the G, so we might just cross there shortly. Ian, final word from you. What would you say to those people who voted for you?
Oh, look, thanks very much for your support. And I'm sorry I couldn't have...
you had to apologise for anything.
Taken the job into Canberra, but it might be for someone in another generation to do that. But look, I'm just very thankful for every one of them.
Well, I'm sure we haven't seen the last of you, Ian Christo.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much for your time tonight.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.